Welcome to the O Woman Podcast, where we discuss so many things about women's sexuality, bodies, thoughts, and lives. We'll talk about everything from our relationships to our orgasms to our children and our ovaries. And we'll share outstanding experiences and ordinary ones. I'm Emma, and a big open welcome to you. Thanks for joining me for the show today. This is episode 55 of the O Woman Podcast. Today we're going to talk more about foreplay. So this is still a continuation of details about foreplay ideas, foreplay activities. That is another aspect of foreplay that we don't think about usually as often, as a more physical type of foreplay and a very highly sexual type of foreplay. So the past two episodes I've done, there was a part one and a part two that talked a lot more about hands-on kind of approach to getting in the mood, getting going with it. So check out both of those episodes for more information. And then some of the stuff that I'm going to talk about today was briefly touched on, in the podcast that I did that was like an overview of foreplay. But that was a lot more of a brief description of all the possibilities. And so I definitely wanted to spend some more time today talking in detail. So the first thing that comes to my mind, and probably to your mind when you think of the phrase emotional foreplay, is kind of a love connection. Not everybody is in a relationship that includes a love connection. You might be in a relationship that includes simply a physical connection, or just a relationship where you care about each other, but you might not love each other yet, or you might not, you know, love each other at all. You might just really care for that person. So there's so many different levels of a physical relationship you can be having. But when I think of the phrase an emotional foreplay, which I've never really heard before, and I just thought I would say it that way because I think that makes the most sense in what I'm talking about. But when I hear that phrase, I think of generally a love connection. And so a lot of the ideas that I have today kind of touch on that. Now, the verbal foreplay doesn't necessarily touch so much on that. But still, it's also related. And to me, so much of foreplay is fun because of all the other connections that you actually have with that person. So beyond just the bedroom, you have other connections with them. Whether, you know, it's a one-night stand, you obviously had something in common. Even if it was not much more than sexual attraction, there's obviously something in common. Or if it's, you know, your life partner, then you have tons in common, or at least tons of things that you connect on anyway. So one thing you can really start with for an emotional foreplay is complimenting each other or the other person. And the really great thing about emotional foreplay too is, like I said about some of the more subtle, secondhand kind of physical moves, emotional foreplay isn't an in-your-face kind of thing. It's not a, I want to have sex, let me grab your crotch and make it obvious. It really warms you up. Me especially, and it warms your partner up to the idea of getting romantic, sexual, whatever later, because you're talking about things, or you're, you know, discussing things, or whatever it is, sharing things that open you up. And I think I've mentioned this in the past, but to me, foreplay is about being open. And so it's a really great metaphor for like everything in life. The concept of foreplay, the preparation for something big and magical and climactic, to me could be considered a foreplay. So foreplay is all about opening up. So in this case, particularly opening up your body, loosening up your body, getting your mind, your emotions, your physicality ready for having sex with the person you're with. But there can be a foreplay for so many other things. And I'll probably talk about that sometime in the future, the parallel between sexual foreplay and other foreplays in life that maybe you'd feel hesitant calling foreplay. But if you think about it, it really is the same thing. There's so much parallel. There's so much preparation and psyching yourself up and getting yourself ready for some of the big events in your life. But complimenting each other is such a great way to think about talking with each other. And usually, if you start by complimenting someone, it's not going to be like, I like your dress, or you're so sexy, let's have sex. you know, you can be that blunt about a compliment, and make it kind of obvious that, hey, that's the way you're leaning, depending on your tone of voice and all of that stuff. But to me, when I'm speaking about an emotional kind of compliment, I'm thinking more on like your relationship level. So telling the other person, thank you so much for doing this for me today, or for doing this and that. It really means a lot to me. Or taking the time out of the day to take a breath, slow down, and think about why you care about this other person, what makes them special to you. Because obviously there's some stuff about them that makes them special. Whether you're in love with them or not, there's stuff about them that makes them special. And otherwise you shouldn't be spending time with them. If they're just the average fool, everybody else in the world is equal to them, why did you choose this person? So spending some time thinking about why they're so special to you and saying it out loud, because we really honestly don't do that enough. And this is almost enough of an offering for foreplay that I feel like it provides some of the best foreplay for the best sex, the most appealing, satisfying sex afterwards, because of how grateful and kind you feel like your partner is when they compliment you, and how glad that they said whatever the hell they said about you and remembered this about you, because it makes you feel good, not just on a physical level. It's like a full body foreplay. It really hits home in so many ways. And really, to me, spontaneous complimenting is one of the best, most disarming things. In the last episode, I talked about kind of spontaneous closeness. I didn't really call it that in the moment, but, you know, a closeness where you get physically close to someone in a way that isn't always the norm, and you surprise them by how close they are, or how close you are to them. So it makes them think, whoa, what's happening? They're so close to me. I'm really aware of their body and how close they are. It's a very sexually tense moment in a really good way. And I feel like you can do that sort of disarming, attention-grabbing thing that is an opening, definite foreplay kind of thing with a spontaneous compliment. That is a real heartfelt compliment, or gut-felt compliment, however you feel about this person. Something that you're actually, you really very much agree, or you really very much think is true about them. So you could just say something. I'm thinking of examples from my life, and particularly my life with Jason. You could just, you know, spontaneously, you're just doing whatever. You could say, I just want to say thank you for being my best friend, you know, in the world. I want to say thank you for loving me all the time, no matter what. And you're so special to me, and you mean so much to me, and you're one of the kindest people I've ever met, or you are the kindest person I've ever met. You are the best person I've ever met. You're the most interesting person I've ever met. And I felt that when I met you. Something was special about you. I just know it, and I still believe that. You know, you could say something like that. So I got a little distracted thinking about my Jason and, you know, wanting to say those things to him right now, but he's not here. He's doing something else. I'm busy. Anyway, so that kind of a spontaneous compliment is really like disarming and opening. It makes the other person want to share their emotional feelings, as well as probably their physical feelings, because let's face it, that's a manifestation of our emotional feelings in many cases. And so that's why the emotional aspect of foreplay is so valuable, because it is sort of the precursor, especially for myself and for most of the women I know, to actually getting in our pants. You have to emotionally be in the zone with us, or it's kind of like, eh, whatever. I mean, not always, but most of the time. Another thing that's related to complimenting, that's about it talking and interaction, is listening to the person after you ask them a question. You know, like asking them about their day and actually looking at their face and being close to them and listening. I mean, how often do you actually do that in the world where you're running around doing things all the time, so busy? It's hard. Like, I hear everything Jason says to me, but I don't know how much I actually absorb and really take in a really meaningful way. I hear the information, but do I really understand all that he's saying to me, all the layers? Because I'm not always looking at him when he's talking to me. I'm not always fully listening. And I try, and I mean, he does the same thing to me. It's hard. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. So actually asking them questions and listening to the answer. So not even just how was your day, but what do you want to do, you know, this weekend? Or what are your thoughts about our next project together? Or, you know, what do you think about doing this thing together, going on a trip, going on a vacation, you know, whatever idea you have. Ask the person, and then give them a minute to respond and really look at them and really be there with them. And really validate what they're saying, because you obviously pick them because they're interesting and have good ideas. And so listen to them. Another thing too, that is definitely not a physical foreplay, but is a very emotional one to me, is sighing. Sometimes Jason will be talking or not, or he'll look at me or something and he'll sigh. And I know that he's sighing because of me, because he goes, oh, I don't know if it's, oh, I love her so much. Oh, she's so nice. Oh, she's so sexy. I don't know. But it makes you feel like the queen of the world. It's just a great feeling. And I know that it applies the other way around, because in a sexual situation, I know that when I've sighed looking at Jason, he responds. He knows why I'm sighing. He knows what I mean by that. And it means so much. It's a simple way, a non-physical way, to express appreciation or interest or overwhelming feelings for someone. And it's just a simple, noisy exhalation. I mean, it's a perfect way to do it. And so don't overlook that. It's so simple. It's as simple as breathing. And I mean, I would think about, you know, doing it when you actually would naturally want to do it, not doing it, just, you know, pushing it so it would sound kind of fake and bizarre. That might not be the best, but, you know, it might take you a little while to figure it out if you're not much of a sigher. So try it out, figure it out, and see if it works for you. It's such a simple thing. Like I mentioned too, talking about having a conversation with the person, asking them questions, definitely is making eye contact with them. And playing around with eye contact too. Eye contact can be as potent and as pregnant and filled with possibilities as kissing or any other thing can, or touching, especially if you use it the right way. You can look at someone for a really long time and not look away. You can look at someone for a really long time and make a certain facial expression while you're looking at them that makes it obvious that you're turned on, or you think they're sexy, or something like that. And doing it especially in the middle of them having a conversation with you. You've spent some time listening to them, you know, all this stuff, like actually listening. You can take a time, you know, to look at them and continue listening, but, you know, let yourself get distracted by how wonderful they are and how attractive they are. You're allowed to do that. And let it show in your face, and let it be obvious in your eye contact and how much you connect with them, or look away or look down, you know, or act a little embarrassed, or even naturally feel a little embarrassed staring them down. Like, how often do you really stare your partner down? Probably not that often. So eye contact can be kind of a scary thing. And one of my coworkers I've talked to about this, I've mentioned it in another episode, but it's kind of unnerving, and it's kind of hard to make eye contact because it is a very emotionally open place, even more than you think when you do it. And so you really have to be in the right frame of mind, or you really just have to go for it and commit to it and reap the benefits from feeling that connection, or at least just testing it out and seeing what's behind that eye contact. Another thing that should never be overlooked, especially in my opinion, this is for men, in my opinion, men that maybe don't do as many chores as the women in their life, which is usually the case. I did an episode on the link between chores and sex, which is a thing. I know it's a thing. So this particularly is something that I think would be a good foreplay thing for men, maybe for women too, but chances are the women are doing more chores than the men in the house anyway. Let's just be real. So is a great foreplay thing for me, swear to God, is helping me with chores, whether I've asked you to do it or it's spontaneous. It's even better if it's like a spontaneous helping moment. But to me, because it takes so much off my plate in my mind of what I have to do, which is part of the reasons why when I'm like, I don't want to have sex, I don't feel like I'm not in the mood. It has to do with all this other crap going on in my mind, my inability to shut my brain off and just be in the moment. Because I'm thinking, I have all this stuff to do, sex, it should take the back burner. And sometimes it needs to, but sometimes you need to open up to it. And a really great way to be open to it is to have someone take all the chores off of the plate in the first place. So you don't have to think about all that other shit you have to do. Or at least make an effort to show that, you know, they understand all this crap you have to do and help out in that way. That is such a turn on to me. Such a turn on to me. I don't even know what else to say about it. It's just a really beneficial way to show that you care, because that shows on a really deep level that you're thinking about their feelings and their emotional state way more than a physical sexual interaction would be. Because it's like, I care enough about you. I know what matters to you. I know that this could stress you out. I'm going to help you out, and I'm going to help myself out by probably getting laid later because I'm helping with whatever. So it just implies an awareness of what is important to you, what you need to do, and just of your life. Another thing that Jason and I have done recently, which at first I was like, I don't know if I want to do this. It seems like it'd make me tired. But it actually is really invigorating and fun, is remembering together. Sitting around, usually drinking beer, drinking wine, talking over dinner, looking at each other, you know, whatever. Talking about a shared history that's years ago, that where you both can't fully remember all the details. And it's really fun to talk about it when it's from the beginning of your relationship, where you have forgotten some of those bizarre, excited feelings that you felt when you first were around the other person. Is go back in time and talk about, remember when we first met, this and this and this, or this fifth date, or that time, or the first time we did this with each other, or in front of each other, or whatever. It's fun to go back and like co-remember, I should coin a phrase, co-membering, I'm going to call it that, co-membering, something together, because it reminds you of your history, it reminds you of your connection, whenever that began, whether it was like a month before, or, you know, years before, or decades before. It reminds you of that connection, and it's a really great way to not forget, because I tend to forget stuff like that. I think I have just a worse memory for details than I really thought I did, which actually scares me a little bit. It makes me think, oh no, am I going to be at a risk for, you know, dementia issues when I get older more than Jason will or other people? Because some of the details, he says things, I'm like, I don't freaking remember that at all. Like, where was I? I know I was there, but why don't I remember that? And I guess it's just a selective memory. So it's really cool to really, you know, swim through all the details and learn information about a memory you have that you maybe never even knew, like how the other person felt the first time you kissed, or how they felt on this date or this moment, like what made them nervous, what made them scared, were they worried about this? Because you don't think of that. You always think of yourself and how freaked out you are or how excited you are. You forget that the other person's having the same feelings, you know. So co-remembering, or co-membering, as I'm going to now call it, is a really awesome way to emotionally connect. If that's the type of sex you're trying to have that night, trying to have emotionally connected sex, an open sex in that way, this is probably going to be really successful. Now, as I've mentioned before, if you're, you know, animalistically turned on that day, I mean, it's probably going to mess up your mojo to spend an hour or whatever, how long, talking about your emotional feelings about this and that. But my partner is not that emotional of a person. I mean, he's emotional, but he's not like, he doesn't like to talk about emotional stuff, really. So it's not like I have like a guy who's a bizarre guy who's unlike other guys that wants to talk about girly emotional stuff all the time, supposedly girly emotional stuff. I feel like I have a very averagely minded guy. So the concept of talking about your emotional stuff with your partner, if your partner's a guy or a woman, is really not that far-fetched or out there, because you just take a little bit of conversation about it and it ends up being a full-blown event, and it ends up being a really fun night because you both have memories of the moment and you can just crack up about it and remember how great it was. Another great thing for sort of an emotional foreplay is cutting on some music, turning on some music, and actually listening to the music for what it is. Because music really imprints on our mind, especially music that has a history to it. Kind of like the co-telling of stories and the co-remembering, the co-membering of stories. you can hear a song and remember, oh my God, an important moment that happened when you were listening to it. So playing songs that you and your partner share as important or romantic or hot, heavy, sexy is a really great idea. It's like, you know, a 5-minute song, and it's probably a 5-minute way to get all the memories in the other person's mind flooding, whether they've like really are interested in having sex that night or not. It gets their brain opening up to all the different memories that came with that song, and it's going to automatically make them a lot more loosely prepared for sex. Whether it's like a romantic song, like, oh, it's my song for my wedding, or it's a, you know, I don't know, Hips Don't Lie song where you were sexually dancing with each other one night in the club, you know, whatever. But if it's a memory for one of you or for both of you, utilize it. See how it works. It's not going to hurt, and it will surely be fun enough to at least dance a little bit too, if that's something you want to do. So, more verbal aspects of an emotional kind of, you know, tantalizing foreplay is like phone sex and kind of talking dirty. So phone sex, which I have talked about before in my podcast, my episode about keeping relationships fresh on long distance relationships. That was one of the things that I said that Jason and I did when we didn't do it that often. We did Skype sex more often, but phone sex was one of the things that we did when we were living, you know, states away. He was in Florida, I was in North Carolina. So it's a really fun thing to do. It seems, even if you've never done it, it seems like, oh, I would never do that. But given the need to do it, like you live far apart, it really is a fun thing. And at least just try it out and see. You could do phone sex potentially, not even, you know, separate. You could be in the same house. You could just be in different rooms, you know, since everyone has cell phones, pretty much. You could do that. And it's a great teaser, kind of like the strip tease is a great teaser. It's the same kind of thing. And phone sex can include, you know, making noises and narrating, oh, I'm touching this, I'm touching that, or whatever. It can include like a sexy story that you kind of made up about the two of you, which is one of the things that I have done before, which is fun because sometimes it feels weird like just saying, I want to do this to you and I'm doing this to myself. It's just kind of a repetitive feeling. So if you make up a story that involves you and your partner and tell it, or maybe retell the story of one of your encounters, it's a really kind of good thing to fall back on because you're not stuck going, I've said the same thing 8 times. Is this even fun? Is this even hot? You could tell that story and just see what happens from there. And, you know, you're listening for their verbal cues, sighing and moaning and whatever they say to see if it's working. And if it's not working for you guys, don't do it. But it's worth trying. I mean, what's it going to hurt? It's just you're on the phone. It's not going to hurt anything. Now, more specifically about talking dirty, I feel like talking dirty is the most effective, for some reason, with words that are a little bit, like, off boundaries in real life. Not necessarily off boundaries with your partner in real life, but off boundaries, like, in the real world, or at least in the context that you use them. So, like, especially, I feel like words with really heavy consonants, like lick and suck, like, those words, you say them like that in public, people are going to look at you like, whoa, what are you talking about? They're going to imagine it's like a sexual conversation. So it really shows you how sexually charged some of these words are that we use to discuss sexual acts. So I feel like words like that are really thick and heavy, that you can say in that way, or you can say kind of smoothly, however you want. Those are pretty effective words for talking dirty. And then, of course, the classic, you know, raunchy words that are kind of, that are technically cuss words, that people use to talk about sex, to talk about body parts, vaginas and penises and things like that. Now, the only thing I would say about talking dirty is you kind of have to get a heads up with your partner, see how they'd feel about certain words being used for certain things. Like, I would not feel comfortable having Jason call my vagina any sort of weird, rude word. It just wouldn't actually be hot. Maybe for some people, it would. But to me, it would be rude. Like I said, a rude word. Like the C word? Oh, I hate the C word. It drives me insane. And if that was said in a dirty talk kind of moment, I would be like, well, the vagina doors are shut. I am so turned off right now. So you need to kind of feel each other out about what is like really just totally off limits. And then, you know, you could also come up with a safe word. So just in case something is totally not cool. And I think you should do this really, if you're going to try anything sexual, really of any sort, like come up with something that's totally a word that you would never say, like in regular, any sexual encounter, anything, and make that the safe word so that you know that you guys are respecting each other's boundaries properly. Because you're in the zone, sometimes it's hard to figure out what they really mean. You're like, wait a minute, is this cool, is this not? I don't know. Jason and I have one, but I can't remember what it is. I've never had to use it. It's either rutabaga or rhubarb. I don't remember which one it is. I'll have to figure that out. Or I think we've joked about how we just can't remember which it is, and so I feel like I would just say rutabaga, rhubarb, like both of them over and over again if that was actually an issue. So I'm definitely in the future going to talk another time, another episode, about safe words in sex and in life and in partnerships and how they're beneficial. Whether or not you ever use them, they just knowing that there is something to fall back on to protect yourself, you know, as your individual self outside of your partnership kind of, you know, is a good thing. So just keep that in mind for another time in the future. As always, I want to thank you for listening to the O Woman Podcast. Please check out the website, owomanpodcast.com. Email me, Emma at O Woman Podcast, with ideas, questions, comments for an upcoming episode, any of those things. I always love to hear from you. Especially, I'd love to hear from you to know that you've listened to an episode, or you thought it was good, or hey, you didn't agree, or, you know, whatever. Check out the O Woman Podcast Facebook page. It's just, you know, it's O Woman Podcast on Facebook. And go to iTunes and subscribe. If you're interested in the episodes, do it that way. It's going to be really easy for you to keep up. You can also check out the episode archives on the website. It's a really easy page. It's one of the top pages that's listed on the website. And all of the links to every single episode and its name is there, so it's really easy for you to follow. It's in date order, so that's really simple. As always, I want to say thank you so much for listening. I always love talking to you guys, and I can't wait to talk to you again on Monday. Okay, bye.